I told you several weeks ago that there would be a part two of a sermon that I preached on hindrances to prayer. I think I've decided that it's a subject, prayer, that I want to talk about more regularly. And I have another thought for part three that's not going to come anytime soon. But the first sermon that I preached, if you want to reference it and go back and listen to it to get continuity with this lesson, was actually, I believe, September 23rd of last year. So that's like 4 months ago. It seems like yesterday to me, but it was about 4 months ago. And I want to do a brief review of some of the things that we talked about. And good, the first click worked. We talked about God's glory filling the temple. And what is said by David thereafter about the meaning of the temple in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, when he says, "If my people, which are called by my name," now, if we are truly the church of our God, then we are his people called by his name. And I believe we are. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." There may be a specific application to that last phrase, to a different time and a different covenant. But God will heal us in every way if we will do the same. And so I talked about some hindrances to prayer, because I've talked to enough believers to know that a lot of us are not praying like we think we probably should be. And we're haunted by, it is a generalization, pray without ceasing. No one can do that literally. And you're not going to do that at about 11 o'clock tonight or earlier when you go to bed. You're going to stop praying when you sleep. Wouldn't it be great if we could just pray through the night as we sleep? But that's not how it works. He's saying pray as often as you can. And yet even that, knowing that it's hyperbole, it's exaggeration for the point of emphasis, still we look at a passage like that, or Romans 12 that simply says, be devoted to prayer. And we look at our own lives and we say, I'm probably not praying as frequently, as fervently, and as comprehensively as I probably should be. So what stands in the way? And some of the thoughts we explored 4 months ago was, perhaps we're unconvinced of how great our need is for this communion with God. Or perhaps we're unconvinced that God is really hearing us, that he's actually responding to the things that we are praying. I think there's also an issue of mechanics, not knowing exactly how to petition God. It's one thing to petition God in an assembly and to lead public prayer, as our men do. And that's a certain kind of praying that has to consider all who are praying to God. I did appreciate Blake doing something, and that is, in the middle of his corporate prayer, he prayed something personal about his travel with his family. That's real before God. I think sometimes we've built up prayer that it has to be a certain formula with a certain introduction, a certain length, and we don't just talk to God and declare our dependence upon him, throw our anxieties at his feet, cast all of our cares, all of them, on him. and I don't want this to be the negative approach, but I suggested that another hindrance is that perhaps other things are our priority. Other things are more important to us than His glory. And the advance of His will, not just in our lives as us being light in our wicked world, but the advance of His will as we try to proclaim the wonderful message, the gospel, to others. We need to examine our motives, where our treasure is. It may be an issue of priority. Boy, that looks familiar. That might just be our daily reading. You are doing the daily Bible reading, right? Some of our young people said they don't get, I'm teaching a high school class, some of the young people said they didn't get the email that has, you know, that Mike sends out every week telling us what the Bible reading is. And so they wanted a hard copy. They actually asked for that. Proverbs 3:15. Wisdom. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. I would say that's true of not just wisdom, but fellowship with God in prayer. And anything that might be your desire that interferes with your praying, it is inferior. It is nothing. Nothing you desire compares with her. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. You want to know real peace? You need communion with God. And now back to verse 8. If you trust in the Lord with all your heart, if you acknowledge Him, He will make your paths straight. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. I think sometimes the cares of the world, the trinkets that the devil throws our way, we just get too busy, too consumed, too worldly versus too godly, too self-consumed, and beyond that, we just don't work hard enough at it. We're lazy. Understand the hindrances. But I want to talk about, for a few minutes this morning, or this evening, what time is it? This evening. That we need to see prayer not as a duty, not as an obligation. Look, if I don't pray, God's going to send me to hell. He doesn't want us to look at it that way. He wants us as His people to see communion with Him as boom. It is a great blessing to be able to have access and fellowship and to be able, despite the baggage of our past and the sin that is there, and all the ways that we've damaged this union with God, that God has gulfed by what He has done for us. And then to see that that great and perfect and awesome God wants me, the likes of me, to come into His presence. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I told you about this graphic the last time I preached. And the first thing that struck me, I love it, because when we pray to God, you have to do that in faith. Is He really answering me? Is He really listening to my request? Will He respond? And so faith is absolutely necessary. And I wondered why the faith rock was bigger than the God rock. Shouldn't the God rock be the biggest? However, what I said to you 4 months ago is that without faith, it doesn't matter how big the rock is. You have to believe for prayer to work. James chapter 1. But if any of you lacks wisdom, verse 5, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously. That's our gracious God. Who gives to all men generously and without reproach. How many? All men. The gift of God and salvation was granted to all men if they would but embrace it. He gives to all men generously and without reproach. And so if you ask, it says, it will be given to him. Remember the Old Testament example? Who asked for wisdom and who was impressed by the request? God. And he said, you know, you didn't ask for the other things, riches and fame. Solomon, because you asked for wisdom, I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to give you all the others too. I'm going to pour you out a blessing until it overflows. Ask God for wisdom. But let him ask in faith without any doubting. Without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Unstable, unsettled, unsure. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man and unstable in all of his ways. Flip over a few more pages in your Bible to 1 John chapter 5. You shouldn't be doubting. If you are in Christ, if you are striving to live for him in holiness, you should not be doubting. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Now, I'll just stop right here. I know that this group of people believe in the name of the Son of God. You believe that he reigns in heaven, that he is Savior, King, and Judge. And he says, these are the people I'm talking to. In order that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence which we have before him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. Oh, we can't presume that we're getting what we've asked for. If it is according to his will, you can. Now, that might be another lesson in and of itself and a study that we need to have. And so, I want us to see the great blessing that comes with those who commune with God in a relationship with him. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Remember the story of Mark chapter 9 where the disciples came to Jesus and there was a man possessed with a demon. And they had been able to cast out demons. In fact, when they came back on one occasion from casting out demons, they were so excited. They were beside themselves to have that ability to cast out demons. And he says, rejoice even more that your names are written in heaven. But they come back on this occasion and they say, Lord, we couldn't do it. Why couldn't we cast them out on this occasion? And I must confess that I don't really understand how it was different completely. Why this case was different or stronger and more challenging for the disciples. But what did Jesus say in response? He said, This kind can only come out by prayer. There was something about this occasion of demon possession that is going to require great faith that they still needed to cultivate. And so, as I talk to you about faith and being devoted to prayer, May I suggest that more constant appeals to God, greater faith in prayer, keeps our minds focused on His presence. Our greater purpose here, and assists in our transformation and holiness. Somebody's going to click for me, if you would. And I must tell you, when I get to Hope of the Dreary, that's a little high for me. So I may go a little silent, and you're going to have to take over. Rest of the weary, joy of the sad. Light of the glad, refuge from danger, strength to the end, home of the stranger, Savior and friend. A little faster. Wealth of the gift. We just prayed together. You didn't bow your head. You didn't close your eyes. We prayed as we sang. And we prayed as I said, "Oh God, oh God of mercy, hear our plea." Let's talk about the power of prayer. Hebrews chapter 4. Prayers of faith, prayers for wisdom, prayers for help. The Hebrew writer, writing to people who are struggling, I mean, it's evident throughout the book. But we have a high priest who comes to the aid of the tempted, who sympathizes with our weakness. He understands. Let us, therefore, draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in a time of need. You struggling? You hurting? You find yourself, as Blake prayed, not on the path like you should be. Go to God's throne. Ask for mercy. Ask for His favor. Keep going on the path. Oh, there's Proverbs again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean upon your own understanding. In all your ways, all of them, in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will guard your path. He will make your paths straight. Proverbs at the end of our reading this week, verse 24, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence, and He will keep your foot from being caught. Lead us not into temptation. Let's pray three areas together. Holy, reverent, awesome God, we want to thank You as Your church who meets in this place, as Your holy people. We want to pray for our shepherds. Thank You for giving them to us. Thank You for their faith. Thank You for their devotion and service. Thank You for Jeff. Thank You for Robert. Thank You for Tom. Thank You for Mike. That they care for our souls. We are so blessed to have them looking over us, caring for us, watching for us. Give them strength for the task. Help them not to be grieved, but to be joyful. Help them to continue to show us Your way. Our God, we've grown so much. Our building is full at times. We wonder how we can go forward. What's the solution? Show us the way. Make the path clear to us. Give us wisdom that we may know. Oh Lord, we love our little kids, our children, so much. They're such a treasure and a blessing. They want to learn. They sit in Bible classes and listen to teachers. And they're soaking it up. We're so grateful for their little hearts. Help us to show them Your love and Your way. Help us to have hearts like them. Humble, innocent, trusting. On the basis of all that You are, our Lord. Amen. Believe it or not, I'm almost done. You saw this 4 months. Yes, I'm almost done. You saw this 4 months ago. Prayer is the key to heaven, but faith unlocks the door. We need to be praying specifically. We need to be praying about our salvation and the salvation of others. We need to be praying about our work for the Lord individually and collectively. We need to be praying for our leaders. We need to be praying for our children. We need to be praying for every member. We need to be praying for family members who are not serving the Lord, or just relationships that we cherish. We need to be praying for those who are lost and need to know the Lord as we know Him. Pray specifically. God is active and He is powerful. The next time you go to the throne of God, go knowing this. He lives and He rules. I believe in his power to save me. I believe in his power to save you through his incorruptible and abiding word, and in his assistance providentially that sometimes we can't even see. I believe he will work in and through me to his glory. I found this week a prayer of protection. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is. Are you with him? God with me, me with him, is life indeed. Remember that from this morning? If you're not a Christian, if you've not signed on to the Lord's path for your life, and I know I'm going into the invitation, but this song's going to be up here. Not time to rustle papers. If you're not on this path, we sometimes speak at the end of a lesson encouraging you to decide tonight to become a Christian. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. Tom Zupko did that recently. Can we baptize you into Christ so that you can know the power of relationship with God and the wonder of his mercy and forgiveness for your sins? Turn from your wicked way, and he will heal you. Embrace the gospel. Faith is the victory. Let's stand and sing.